For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday morning, September the 6th, 1982, Labor Day. This has been the Labor Day Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Seminar at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Chuck Flynn is the speaker on this.
I fly out today about 4:45 in L.A. and through Dallas. Some of you, we know, will head other different directions. This has been good, amen? Well, we could build three tabernacles as far as the inspiration. The Lord's been here. Hallelujah. And such wonderful praise, Tony. And the other day I was speaking about things of Christ for nations. And, you know, this way the humor of the Holy Ghost is, it's outstanding sometimes. And I was speaking on the express image, Hebrews 1, the express image of His person. That we are to be the express image of His person. And here's the Lord. I'll blame this on the Lord. I don't know if He's going to. This is the way He put it. He said, the world has their American Express, but we have the express image, and we won't go out without it. So that these are ways that people receive and remember the word sometimes. Hallelujah. Like the three stomachs of the cow. To remember somebody saying, the Spirit of God is very graceful. Hallelujah. Why I believe I just said, we'll name the series, is because we did emphasize the authority of the believer to loose the gifts in others. When Mary had received the seed and the shadow from Gabriel, He went back to Genesis 3:15, picks up the seed of the woman, and then, of course, in Psalms 9, the shadow of the Most High, or the shadow of the Almighty, He that dwelleth in the secret place. And the word dwelleth there means he that stakes his claim, it's a miner's term, into the treasury of God. So you got to dig for God's treasury. And so He takes the seed, the shadow, puts it into Mary, and then the word Jesus comes forth, the virgin birth, the conceiving. And Mary goes down then, having the living word within her, she opens her mouth and is expressed through her voice. And she says, hallelujah, Elizabeth, some type of salutation. And Elizabeth is loosed in the gifts of the word of knowledge, prophecy, revelation. The gifts are released in Elizabeth, and she receives the Spirit. This is the way that God's going to move upon the body of Christ. We're going to just say, praise the Lord, brother. And they're going to say, thus saith the prophet. The gifts will be released. Hallelujah. So we have that dimension that's coming before the coming of the Lord, and that's already beginning. You just speak the word. Hallelujah. In Kansas City, I was at a charismatic meeting. Quite a few of the Catholics were there, the sisters also, and others. And a very good crowd. We just had a wonderful time of praise. Then the Lord said at the end of my speaking, He said, I want you to minister to the hard cases. Those that feel they just have been prayed for by everybody for the baptism of the Spirit. And they feel they're a hard case. I said, all you hard cases, come on down, because the Lord said that you're going to receive tonight. And there was about 24 of them. And I said, well, Lord, I've never prayed for hard cases, you know, and I probably haven't, didn't know it. So He says, well, son, I want you to, like Dr. Frost, like you've seen him. And the Lord calls out names to me. He says, I want you to sing with them in the Spirit. Don't pray for them now. Just tell them to sing with you. And I laid hands on him. I said, sing with me in the Spirit. Every one of them was loose. Every one. Hallelujah. Oh, a beautiful anointing of the Lord. So this is why we can release others in the gifts. The other is El Elyon, means the Most High God, which everywhere I take you through the Word, wherever. In fact, I start with Zacharias' prophecy. I'm working on my doctorate now, and that's my thesis. I've already got the other subjects. But in writing this book on Zacharias' prophecy, see, that's been a Christmas message for too long. It's really the message of the king coming back. Zacharias prophesied things in Luke 1 that we need to know about. It looses the prophet, priest, and king anointing in your life. That's El Elyon, the Most High God. Now, in Malachi 3:1, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. I want you to underline whom ye seek. And I will send my messenger. Actually, the term messenger and Malachi, my messenger, is the same. Now, when you investigate the word, remember in the book of Revelation, the redeemed person that showed John around heaven, biblically, exegetically, means the study of the word, the balance of the word, that man is Malachi. We can prove it by certain areas of from the book of Malachi and the book of Revelation. So he is the messenger. He's the one that guided John around heaven. And now he says, this is the giving forth of the messenger anointing. I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Please circle the word temple and put down John 10:17, chapter 10 to 17, his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. That means the Lord Shaboeth, the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. The refining fire is in three areas of fiery anointing. First of all, the word of the Lord is the fire in our bones. And so the authority now of the fire of the word, or the cloven hoofs of the clean animals, when you meditate in the law, Psalms 1 verse 2 says that he will meditate in the law day and night. The word meditate there means to chew the cud, as a little review now. So therefore the cow is the clean animal because of the cloven hoof. Then, of course, the word as the cloven tongues of fire that set upon each one of them took them into the Pentecostal or the harvest ministry, which has yet to crescendo before the coming of the Lord. We'll see the great harvest of Pentecost. Tongues is not Pentecost. Tongues is to prepare us for Pentecost. You understand what I mean? Pentecost is the harvest. And we're going to receive the harvest, and the husbandman is going to come for the fruits of the earth. But we'll already have the fruits ready. Some of us are food inspectors already. So this is why the Lord is saying, get my word within you, preparing yourself for Pentecost. Now, at the Feast of Pentecost, the high priest, on the Day of Atonement, took up, pardon me, not the Day of Atonement, but the Feast of Pentecost, he baked the 2 loaves of bread. Now, they were 1.5 feet wide, 4 feet long, 6 inches high. That's a pretty good loaf of bread. He takes out of those breads 2 loaves, lifts them up, and as he lifts up the loaves of bread, each one stands for the Jews, their Israel, the other stands for the Gentiles. In other words, all mankind. And he waves these unto the Father. And as that's called the wave offering. Hallelujah. Now, when the Holy Ghost hits a person, there is a response with the wave offering and the anointing of the wave offering. Now, when I was younger, we heard others make this statement, so some of the younger kids picked it up. That's a Pentecostal jerk. And we thought it was just those that were a little more fanatical than the rest. But Dick Mills says that in studying American history, George Whitefield had some Methodist camp meetings or Brush Harbor meetings that the way that if you ask directions to the gospel meetings, they would say, wherever whips are cracking. Because the women would braid their long hair, put it into a bun, and then when the power hit them, it would come loose, and their hair would crack like a whip. Pow! 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 And that's the wave offering. Amen. Some of us today would have wigs going in with you. But anyway, that's a beautiful thing to see that wave offering. I mean, my grandma and my mother and a lot of in Oklahoma, my, how the wave offering and the shouting and the praising and the glory of God would fall. And that old Oklahoma wave offering, I saw it down in Lima, Peru with Mother General Leonita of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the Roman Catholic Church. And here she had on all of her garb, you know, but the wave offering, the Holy Ghost was on her. She's filled with the Spirit. And in Nigeria, there's that Oklahoma wave offering again. Now, those that have been to the Wailing Wall of Jerusalem also will recognize the wave offering, but maybe you didn't think of this, but the Jewish tradition is they will go to the Wailing Wall. And there's a little curlicue of hair on most of the Orthodox Jews. That means, leave part of the land for me, God said. So they left part of their hair, you know, let it grow down to the Lord. But they'll stand there and they'll do that. Why are they doing that? That means they're worshiping God. This is their understanding. 10-4, Lord. Back to the Wailing Wall. They're worshiping and they're going forward and backward. That's the wave offering. Now, they believe that they're worshiping with all their soul. I will worship and with the Lord with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my might. That's what they're doing. But actually, they're doing it in tradition, but they're waving unto the Lord and they're saying that one day the Messiah will come. I'm praying for him, but I'm also believing for a Holy Ghost outpouring on Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's exactly what they're doing. So you and I can go up to the Wailing Wall and just wave all we want to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the wave offering of the Spirit. Last summer, Dr. Charles Monroe was asked by the three of the top rabbis of Israel to write a paper on Joel 2. Dr. Monroe is quite a scholar. He had been the chancellor there at Christ for the Nations. He went out and helped Brother Serlo at San Diego extensively to set up the school of ministry. He is one of the top men in Pentecostal or charismatic circles that really moves in the Holy Ghost, and God has used him to be a bridge and understanding some of the things that's going on today. And he went into the ancient writings, and he found out through the ancient writings of the Jewish beliefs, and into the book of Joel, and he proves, they call the Holy Spirit the voice from above, proves that the ancient writings confer with or correlate with the second chapter of Joel. The rabbis of Israel now, they're seeing that they should have a visitation of the Holy Ghost, the voice from above. He proves it in their own writings. So the Lord is really bringing forth some tremendous insight and giving them an open door. Those who will come in, will come in. Hallelujah. I believe that the mercy of the Lord extends, and we thank God for, praise the Lord, for His giving opportunity to people everywhere to be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is why this expression is, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to His temple. All right, let's turn to John, the 10th chapter. There are five tabernacles or temples throughout the Word of God. Seven altogether. So in your notes, let's name off the tabernacles. Number one, the tabernacle in heaven, Hebrews 9, the figure of the true. So the true tabernacle was in heaven. And that's where the blood of Jesus is today, under the mercy seat in heaven. Number two, Moses' tabernacle, Exodus 30, 35, in there, Exodus chapter 35. Number three, the tabernacle of David, Acts 15. And the tabernacle of David will be restored, and you follow the references back to Amos 9:11, and then the Chronicles. The tabernacle of David was placed on Mount Zion. The Ark of the Covenant was out in the open. Everybody in David's generation saw the Ark of the Covenant. There was 10,000 singers appointed to sing praises day and night at the tabernacle of David. That meant David put a tent over the Ark of the Covenant, and everyone could see it, the presence of the Lord. Up until that time, only one man, the high priest, once a year, saw the Ark of the Covenant. All right, number four, the tabernacle of Jesus, from John 10 to 17. Number five, the tabernacle of the believer. Every phase of the tabernacle is within the heart of the believer. First of all, the door. Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. And number two, the furniture is the sacrifice, the altar of sacrifice. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, Romans 12:1. The third article is the laver, where we wash, that's our praise. The word rejoice means to groom yourself, to primp in the Hebrew. Groom yourself for the presence of the Lord. And that's what we do when we rejoice. The minstrel anointing in praise and worship, and our brother here and others, we thank God for the praise and the worship. What are we doing? We're primping. We're grooming. God don't want any slouch in His presence. Spiritually, or physically. Amen? Our grooming is, of course, Let's be careful how we look. Well, God looks on the heart. God looks on everything that's ours. He wants us to dress modestly and dress appropriately. Amen. So don't be so we got a little slouchy in our charismatic move, you know. All we had was a lot of pantsuits and tape recorders, just a lot of tapeworms. So God wants us to dress accordingly. So he said, groom yourself at the laver, wash yourself in my praise and my worship. The table of showbread, the believer, that's the what fourth? Number four, the table of showbread. In other words, where the living word becomes part of us. With the word of God and holiness. To the believer, it's holiness and righteousness. The table of showbread means straighten up. Others may, but you cannot. Hallelujah. If you're heading for the presence of God, your face is like the Lord's, like flint. He was heading for Jerusalem to be crucified, but you and I are heading for the presence of God. Amen? Let holiness, let the showbread of God be your portion. Eat the word and let it become righteousness and holiness within you. And then the fifth, we go on into the holy place. And there the menorah, the candlestand, the oil, daily lit. That's the type of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost moving in our life. The baptism of the Spirit. Number six is the altar of incense, where we are to intercede and to ask, hallelujah, in His name. Number seven is the Holy of Holies, where the Father's presence is, and there He beckons us into His presence. Hallelujah. As we qualify ourselves. Amen. There is the authority of the Lord bringing to His presence. I don't think we're buying or bargaining at that point. I believe the Lord wants to bring you and I into a maturity that He can qualify us and move through us with His authority and bring us into His throne room and speak to us. Hallelujah. That's the authority He's given. So first of all is the door. Well, now that's the tabernacle of the believer. There's five then. Let's go over them again. The tabernacle in heaven, tabernacle of Moses, tabernacle of David, tabernacle of Jesus, the tabernacle of the believer, and then there's two more, the tabernacle of the millennium, and then the tabernacle of the firmament. The firmament is found in Psalms 19, verse 4 and 5. Now, those who contemplate marriage, this is what it's speaking of. This is the most of the Jewish marriages stem from Psalms 19, verse 4 and 5. The tabernacle of the Son is in the King James Version, but it is the original means the tabernacle of the firmament. The Lord says the bridegroom stands among this tabernacle. I've had weddings where the chupa have shared with the bride and groom. They were Messianic Jews that had found Jesus as a Messiah. And they wanted their wedding to have this covering, the chupa, the four posts. And of course, that's Jesus, the Savior, the Baptizer, Healer, Coming King. The authority of His office, the bridegroom stands in underneath the chupa, or the tabernacle of the firmament. Over it is linen, which means priestly anointing. And the linen, of course, and flowers around the edges. That's the chupa, the covering of Psalms 19, verse 4 and 5. In Jesus, this shall culminate when He comes. The bride shall be given authority over the firmament, and we've already have it. We already have authority over astrology, all types of occult and the stars and the zodiac. We bind that in the name of Jesus. You have divine authority over that. Hallelujah. We have been given the firmament. The Jupiter theory, when that was rampant and sent fear all over, that the earth is going to quake and the earth is going to that and the other. When those planets line up, the children of the Lord have the right, according to Psalms 19, verse 4 and 5. And I would lead congregations into that position of authority, and we'd just say, all right, you planets, get back in your own orbits. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to cause havoc. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, according to His will, we bind you, and the child of God has power over the firmament. Hallelujah. We're the bride. And there'll be greater manifestations along this line as well. So know you are, praise God, in that divine authority that He has given us. Amen. One of the greatest scriptures for divine deliverance and authority is John 1 and 9. When you're praying for someone, you say, I don't know. When you're asking and commanding, and that perfect love of Christ is upon you, now this will give you strength to speak authority. Because there's many children of the Lord that had rather, God does have those that are experienced in this area. But what if you had an opportunity or an occasion? Is there? You've got to take your divine right as a believer and see the victory come and take your authority. So this authority that God gives every believer to cast out devils, the authority comes from John 1:9. It's not ever used in old ministries that I know of. But yet it's there. It might help you. Because He said He lights every man that cometh into the world. Isn't that right? Then if His light is within him, the law of possession is already set up. Because Jesus, you relate that verse to the verse that says, the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. There's nothing that Satan can lay hold upon, Jesus said, to where he can get a foothold. So Jesus recognized the law of possession. He said, the prince of this world cometh, and if there was anything within him, then it would be the law of possession. Jesus recognized it. But there's nothing in me that he can lay hold upon. So now, when he redeems you and I, now he says, put the law of possession in its full capacity of anointing. Now it's in reverse. Now it's in reverse. I have lit every man that cometh into the world. There's something of mine within every person. I don't care if they're warlock, witch, or if they're diabolically full of dope or any type of insanity. There's a light there, and you have authority over it, and the devil must recognize the law of possession, because I did 2,000 years ago. And you speak to that light in the name of Jesus. The authority of that light is within him, and know that you have power to command all of satanic forces to loose their hold, because they're already possessed by the light of the Lord. Hallelujah. Every person is lit when they come into the world. They have that light, and what you do is, see, that's what I like about Brother Bill expressing that tremendous diabolical depression and all the rebellion and all the activity of the enemy just tries to suppress that. But the light is still there, and the believer can loose it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because, see, we come through the Prince of Peace, and we have possession within that individual. Amen? That's why Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh, have nothing in me. Well, we come in the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus, and He has something within every person in the earth. It's his light, and we take authority over them. In the name of Jesus, devil, you have no right nor part nor lot in this matter. They're set free by the power of God. Let's praise God with a clap offering to do it, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So the Lord shall come suddenly to his temple. Let's turn to John 10 now. And I want you to underline now. Quickly, we'll go through and see the tabernacle of Jesus. First of all, the door of the tabernacle. So this is the tabernacle of the Lord. Verily, verily, I say unto you, John 10, verse 1, he that entereth not by the door, please circle the word door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door, circle the word door in verse 2, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, circle the word openeth, down to verse 4, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 7, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door. Please circle that whole phrase. I am the door. Again, in verse 9, I am the door. And by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Amen. Praise God. All right, the next is the altar of sacrifice, chapter 11 and 12. There is the death of the Lord Jesus at the altar of sacrifice as being the Lamb of God. So here in chapter 11 is the death of Lazarus spoken. And then we turn over to verse 22. But I know, Martha says, that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Verse 23 of John 11. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. Hallelujah. So here is the altar of sacrifice that Jesus related to, and then later on in verse 33 to 36, he says, Lazarus, and he weeps and brings forth Lazarus in from the dead and loose him and let him go. Verse 43 says, and when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. Here's the shout of a king. He cried with a loud voice. Later on, of course, he had the keys of death and of hell. But here he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Then in verse 12, or chapter 12, along with this, Mary takes a pound of ointment in verse 3 of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence? He knew exactly what it was worth.
and given to the poor. This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. The word bear, circle that, means pilfered or stole from the disciples' bag. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. In Matthew 26, verse 8, it says, why this waste? Here's worship unto the Lord. Here she takes, and Judson Cornwell writes, and he says after investigation, it was the tradition that the young girls would have their dowry also to help them start their new life when they married. So Mary brought her dowry, all of her ambitions of life, that which costs was costly, that which would begin and help her begin her life. This was her hope chest, if you please. But she brought it and she broke it. And she fulfilled the key of David when David said, I'm not going to worship with that which cost me nothing. Amen? Now, God's getting tired of worship with just token offerings. These dollar token offerings, let's be careful when we worship that the Lord is pleased. Amen? Because we're worshiping unto Him. It's costing us something. And so she laid all of her life's ambition and ideals and she puts them upon Jesus. What a fragrance. Amen? And it became a memorial wherever the gospel goes. But here she lays her life at his feet. Now, nothing to start her life with, but I believe she was abundantly blessed. Hallelujah. I believe she got the best looking, handsomest Jewish boy around there, or whoever. Bless the Lord. I feel this is a dedication that the Lord wants at his sacrificial anointing. When we sacrifice, let it be a fragrance. Don't let it be a drudgery. Let it be a fragrance to your life. Hallelujah. Let that fragrance soar as a perfume. Paul says we're life in the life. And he used the term, we are perfume unto life. And that's what the word meant. When he said death unto death, he used the word ozme. We're just an odor to those that have sealed their doom and rejected the Lord. But those that receive the Lord, we are a perfume of life. Hallelujah. There's a deodorant in Jesus that drives off all death. Amen? Hallelujah. And that's why it's very pleasant. Hallelujah. Cleanliness. The fear of the Lord is clean. Amen? When you're going to pray for somebody, always keep close by some of that or something else that you, for those on the tape, it was a mouth spray or something, you know. Some of you could knock anybody under the power just by your breath. And if you're ministering, it's what I tell the potential ministries, it's good to have personal hygiene and you got to work at it. Amen? The Lord loves us to have some people get around them and Let's keep ourselves clean when we worship in all times. There's nothing better than good personal hygiene. Amen. Some of you fellas shower up and when you're ministering, don't be an ozme, just an odor. Paul says we're life in the life. These are very important. Somebody there trying to seek God and be filled with the Spirit. And enough. All right. Now, we go to the labor. Jesus is the labor in John 13. So after, in verse 10, John 13, verse 10 is the labor where the priest washed himself. And that's where Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. and you're clean, but not all. So Jesus takes and washes the disciples' feet. Hallelujah. After that, he pours water in verse 5 into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now, when Grandma used to go to church every Sunday, they would wash each other's feet. A beautiful service. Humbling of heart. It's not to be a tradition. It's all right to have periodically, whenever the Lord leads, to have a washing of feet. But feet and tongue are the same, and that's why the Lord said, the God of your peace, or of peace, which means your peace, when you speak my word with power, the tongue and the feet are the same, and therefore the anointing of the Lord is upon you. And when you speak words of cleansing and words of encouragement, you wash that person in their every withhold. Hallelujah. So this is how that spiritually the Lord was saying, humble yourself, take on the contriteness of my character, and be a uplift wherever you go. Wash each other with the authority of the Lord within you. Hallelujah. Speak the words of peace and the words of encouragement and exhort each other, because thereby you're washing every withhold. Hallelujah. So whether it's the literal washing of the feet, that's a great presence of anointing and beautiful. Or whether you speak words of comfort and words of peace, you're still washing each other. Hallelujah. At the labor. The showbread is chapter 14. Jesus is the table of showbread. That's put down, table of showbread, by verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Circle that. That's your bread. That's your holiness words. My words. We build our house on his words. Our home will never fall. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. And he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Hallelujah. You've come unto the table of showbread. Jesus said, that is the holiness. That's the washing. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, and he washes her with the word of the Lord. You might say, well, how can I wash my loved ones? How can I wash my family? Let the word of the Lord flow through you and ask the Lord and desire it. And move in with desire and say, Lord, teach me your ways. And God will teach us how to wash each other. And the debris of life shall be clean and pure. Hallelujah. And washed from our children. Fathers, wash your sons with the words from Proverbs, so that when they are in temptation or face temptation, they'll have the cleansing of the Lord upon them. Wash the daughters so that insecurity will not come upon our daughters, so that they will take the first proposition that comes along, or that the enemy will make them feel like they'll be old maids, or that the peer pressures at our educational institutions will be so great that to be in the in crowd, they've got to lose their virtue. I bind it in the name of Jesus. I loose the fathers to wash their daughters and wash their sons with the word and prepare them for life. It's more than just talking about the sex organs and the operation of some kind of an event in their life. It's instructing them with the word that you're interested in them, and they'll not have insecurity. Daughter, I'm believing God with you that you'll have the best fellow that God wants for you. Amen. Tell them that. And when you speak it, you'll have it. Hallelujah. Somebody said, I don't know if I go for all that confession thing. Listen, any way I can get it. Amen. There's truth everywhere. And bless God, I'll confess it and speak it over my son or my daughter and prophesy the glory of God. How long has it been since you prophesied over your family? Let's go to the next chapter on that one. Worship with the word. Speak the Holy Ghost over them. In fact, in the Old Testament, it was the father's duty, especially for the daughter, that she would not be alone and insecure. The father was so close to her and loved her that when she made her choice, she knew all the particulars and she wasn't rushed. Did not lose her virtue in the process either. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, bring them on. These little old lovers that say, if he loved me, let's try and see if it works. Well, stick your head in the cement mixer and see if it works. Stay away from uncleanness until it's lawfully right. Then it's clean. It's pure. But it starts with the priest of his home, brethren. Don't come around crying and moaning and groaning. Pray for my son and daughter. Have you washed them with the word? Oh, when we step on you, we're heavy. But this has been neglected in the body of Christ. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and washed the church with his word, so that you'll not be insecure and go after all types of oddball types of themes. When you're secure, you're not going to run after any kind of personality and overemphasis themes. You're going to be to your shepherd lover. Amen? You're not going to be. You'll appreciate and you'll fellowship, but you won't be hoodwinked because you've been washed by the Master. And you're not insecure in your worship. That's why people go for all this flashy deals here and there. They're insecure. Let him wash us this morning. Praise God. I got to hurry. Of course, the menorah, chapter 15, is the Holy Ghost. And that's in verse 26, put down there, the lampstand. But when the comforters come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeded from the Father, he shall testify of me. That's the lampstand of the tabernacle of Jesus. Chapter 16, we go down to verse 23. Put the altar of incense. That's when Jesus said, when you pray, come to the altar of incense. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. That's the altar of incense. Chapter 17 is that great intercessory chapter. And it starts out, this put at verse 1, Holy of Holies. Jesus is at the Holy of Holies now. And the first word he said is, Father. First person, he's talking directly to the Father. And he says, Father, the hour is come. And this is the Holy of Holies that Jesus, through John 10 to John 17, here is the tabernacle of our Lord. And every area is for our benefit. I pray not for these only, but for all them that hear the word through them. Down to verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me. Please circle that. Be with me. See, Adam was not deceived. Eve was deceived to take the fruit of the garden. Adam was not deceived because God said, Adam, way before Eve, he said, Adam, you guard the garden and keep it. Dress it. And keep it, is the King James Version. That means guard it. I have an enemy. You have an enemy. Adam was well aware of the enemy. But Eve, being deceived, partook of the fruit. So Adam had to make a choice. This is why sports are so rampant today. Competition. Adam made a choice. The cool of the day or Eve? He says, honey, I want to be with you. Give me the fruit. And he partook of the fruit to be with her. And at the cross or at the Gethsemane, Jesus partook of the cup so that he could be with us. Amen. Hallelujah. If it were possible, Father, take the cup from me, but not my will, your will be done. Give me the cup, and he drank it. The degradation of mankind. So now he says, so, Father, that they will be with me. Hallelujah. Where I am, that they may behold my glory when thou hast given me, which thou hast given me. I want you to underline, behold my glory. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And this is how he explains the glory of God. See, when he said, thou lovest me before the foundation of the world, he went back then to the creation day when he spun off. Job said he stood on nothing, grabbed nothing, and threw it in his face by the word of his power. And Jesus began to create in the galaxies. Mount Palomar says there's 4 or 5 million galaxies. Galaxies. Just our little universe is in a little old section of our Milky Way, which is our galaxy. And yet there's millions of those galaxies. Stop the world and let me off. I just can't comprehend that one. But yet Jesus was just on creation day. Pow, pow, glory. Creating galaxies and planets and, oh my, what a time he was having from the foundation of the world. And when he created Pluto, you know, slam dunk, Saturn, he was moving in creativity, the sun, the moon. But when he created the earth at the foundation of the world, a sword pierced his heart. A separation from the Father. He was crucified from the foundation of the world. An emptiness went to come upon him. A loneliness, heavy spirit. What was it? I don't know what it is. What is that? And he said, Father, at that moment you loved me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And that love that you gave me sustained me all the way to Calvary. And so I want them to be with me and have the same glory that I had. When I felt I was alone, you loved me and you gave yourself for me. Praise God. He loves us. That's his glory. Thank you, Father, for your word. Let the joy of the Lord be our strength. We thank you, Lord, for washing us this day. Father, I want them to be with me, and let them behold my glory, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Let's sing, his word is working in me, and we'll turn it right back. His word is working mightily in me. His word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, his word is working mightily in me. The word is working mightily in me. The word is working mightily in me. No matter what the circumstances, what I feel or see, the word is working mightily. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And God bless you. Praise the Lord. Pray for us.
Real quick here, I'm going to turn the service till to Brother Nelson until 25 minutes till 12, and then the rest of the day belongs to Brother Bell.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Just close your eyes. Tell Jesus you love him. Hallelujah. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, how I adore you. Adore you. Hallelujah. I lift my hands in praise and adoration. Jesus, I love you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.